The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." And Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." And then he led him to Jerusalem and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord. You know, a while back, a few weeks ago, I took a little break. And John Hines came here to fill in for me. How many of you know John Hines? Well, you know, he was my pastor for 7 years when I first became a priest. He taught me a few things. And you know how he always has a homily prop, or many times. And, you know, I've had it when I was associate pastor, people would come up to me, "I can't believe he brought into church a football or whatever it is he is, you know." And I tell you, it can upset some people. So we would never do something like that, right? Well, yeah. So, you know, when I went on that little break, I went golfing. I went to Palm Springs with some of my friends. And you know, since I became a priest, I started getting into this. And so every single Wednesday, my day off, I actually go out and I play golf. And you know, I go out there, it's a day off, I'm taking it easy, just having fun. I hit the ball. You know, I got thinking I was doing pretty good. And then I go to Palm Springs on the really fancy courses. I meet up with my high school and college friends, and we're putting a few dollars on the game, and we're competing. The test came, and I failed. Because even though I thought I was doing good, I really wasn't disciplined about my game. And so I got a plan. I came back home determined not to fail again. And so I bought this little swing training aid. Now every day in the room, I get up after I say my prayers, and I work on this new little thing to help me solve one of my problems. You know, my hands were in the right place when I hit the ball. Makes noise, it probably wakes up Brother John. But I'm being silly, aren't I? I think this is what Lent is about. Life comes and brings tests, trials. And it's easy in life to be just going along, think you're doing well, having a fun time, but when the trial comes, our spiritual trials, we're not ready for them. And so Lent, these 6 weeks, is a time we need to pick up some training aids or look at our spiritual life and really try to discipline ourselves to become better Christians. And the gospel today, Jesus, it says, is undergoing a test in the desert, a test as in strengthening us. It's a test, a Lenten period before he goes into his public ministry and is eventually led to the greatest test of all, his death on the cross. And so in a way, this is a time he's showing us we must prepare ourselves for our crosses in life that we really don't know when they're going to come. And more so, in Luke's gospel, he's showing that as Jesus goes into the desert, Jesus is like a new Adam who is fighting our adversary, the devil, whom Adam fought and lost, like me in my golf. More seriously, though, Jesus wins that victory. Jesus also going into the desert for 40 days echoes the Exodus, the 40 years through the desert. Jesus is starting a new Exodus after he has defeated the devil to free us from slavery and lead us to his kingdom, the promised land. Now, I have found in life that many people, including myself over the years, really don't believe the devil really exists. And we'll read a story like today and think of it as mythology or a figure or symbolic. But I think it's important for our faith to say, our Catholic teaching, the tradition, scriptures say that there really is a devil. There really is a tempter. We really do have an adversary, and we really do fight a spiritual battle. Now, don't get me wrong. We have many temptations and faults ourselves, and it's easy to blame the devil sometimes. But it's important to realize that we do have an adversary. You are familiar, perhaps, with Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10. St. Paul says, "Finally, grow strong in the Lord with the strength of his power. Put on the full armor of God so as to be able to resist the devil's tactics. For it is not against human enemies that we have to struggle, but against the principalities and the ruling forces who are masters of the darkness in the world, the spirits of evil in the heavens. That is why you must take up all God's armor, or you will not be able to put up any resistance on the day of evil, or stand your ground, even though you exert yourselves to the full." Paul is saying that if we try to undergo this battle that we all face, that Adam lost, we will lose it too if we try to go on our own. But Christ fought the battle for us. Christ gives us protection and shares that victory over evil, and we must put on that armor. That is what Lent is, a time when we really put on the armor of God, prepare ourselves for the spiritual battles that have yet to come in our lives. What are some of the armor of God? What are some of the things we should be working on? I mentioned it before, some of the masses, I forget what I say at different masses. In my priesthood as an engineer, a scientist, I really struggled with belief in the devil. But I did, within the last, about 5 years ago now, have an opportunity to sit through an exorcism. and to see firsthand that the devil really is real. And it's a life-changing event, I will share. It's a life-changing event not because it should make us afraid, but it should make us realize how serious this battle is and that we need to draw closer to Christ and his church. And so in that battle, going through 8 sessions that lasted over a year, I learned some things that are the armor of God. One of them is the authority of the church. Every session started with the words from the Exorcist, by the authority given to me by God's church, by the bishop, as the appointed exorcist of this diocese, I command you. The priest, the church, has authority. The bishop has authority. The priest, by virtue of his position, the authority of the church, says, this is my body, this is my blood, and becomes truly Christ present. The priest in the confessional says, by the authority of the church, I absolve you of your sins. And no matter how sinful a priest or a bishop can be, that doesn't matter, because that authority is given to the church and by virtue of a person's position. But you know what? It's not only the priest and the bishops that have that authority. Every single member of the church who's baptized has authority over the powers and principalities. And in the name of Jesus, we can command the tempter to stop. So, that's important. Another thing I learned that's very important is the power of prayer. Whenever situations were really tough during these sessions, we would stop and as a group pray. And prayer to Mary is especially powerful. Prayer to Michael the angel, archangel, is especially powerful. The Divine Mercy Chaplet was very powerful. Prayer is essential. St. James tells us, resist the devil, draw close to God, and he will flee. Prayer is an essential part of the armor of God. And another thing I learned, sacramental confession. Before every session, we had to all go to confession. Because every time we sin, especially repeated and unrepented sin, we are like that second temptation. We're bowing down and worshiping the author of sin. We're following his kingdom and his commands, whether we know it or not. And we must make an effort, an act to come back into the church and to confess our sins and then to basically re-profess our baptismal vows and re-fully join ourselves to God's church, which has this authority over evil. Another thing that happens a lot is we fail to forgive others. And similarly to sin, when we fail to forgive others, we're working against Christ, who died to save and forgive all people. And so we must forgive others. So this Lent, we're called to put on the armor of God to protect us and to prepare for the battles yet to come in our life, to receive the sacraments regularly, especially confession and Eucharist, to pray regularly every day. This scripture passage also shows the importance of knowing and reading scripture, because the devil knows scripture too and can use it against us. And so we must correctly read and interpret scripture according to the traditions of the church. And in the name of Jesus, we have tremendous power as baptized persons. And so when those temptations come, and again, they can be from our own disordered passions, but the way we battle temptations, whether they be from the evil one or our own disordered passions, is similar. When those thoughts come into our mind, when those voices in our hearts causing us, or not causing us, but tempting us to do evil, we can rebuke it and say, stop, in the name of Jesus. We can start to pray, especially the Our Father, who art in heaven. That prayer lines up very well with this particular gospel passage, to give us our daily bread, to not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's a deliverance prayer. And put on the battle, the armor of God, so that we can survive our battles. And so in closing, Lent is about a time when we take the effort, like an athlete, like a golfer, to improve our game so that when the test comes, we can endure. Because when those tests come, they become very serious. And we are tempted to despair. One of the temptations that you heard the devil use today is, if you are the Son of God, questions our very identity. And we'll hear voices in the midst of our difficulties that say, am I really loved by God? Does he really care about me? He's not answering my prayers. Maybe I should just give up. Or he'll lie to us and tell us that this is going to make us happy, but what it's really going to do is enslave us. But we're tempted to just give in. And so whether we're tempted to give up or give in, let us know that we are a child of God. We are a son and a daughter of the King. And he died for us. And even if you alone were the only person in the world, Jesus still would have gone to the cross to free you from slavery. And the one who died for you, the one who loves you, he's strong. He won the battle. And so he will deliver you. And so this Lent, let us be serious about the battle we face, and let us prepare ourselves, put on the armor of God, and trust that Jesus loves us, and the one who loves us delivers us. He is strong.